When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Around this time in your Chapter 1 experience, you'll have the opportunity to serve people in your community. It's a powerful thing when we go out of our way to help people who need it. But of course, God's desire is that this isn't just a one-time thing. It is that serving becomes a lifestyle. The majority of times when Jesus served others, it was what we would see as an interruption. In today's passage, he was already on his way to heal a dying girl. When he stops to handle another pastoral matter, the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, you can just imagine his followers thinking, "Jesus, I'm not sure this one's quite so urgent." And yet, Jesus stops. The truth is, serving can seriously interrupt your life. When we are open to serving God by loving his people in a hands-on way, the Holy Spirit makes us aware of needs around us. And it may not always be in our time frame or schedule. But God's purpose for us to love the people he has placed in our lives and to use our gifts, talents, and time to serve them. In our fast-paced way of life, time is a precious commodity. And one of the best ways we can value and serve people is by giving them our time. Opportunities to love people may not always be life-changing or dramatic, but they can still be a chance to point people towards the kindness of God. Who has God placed in your life, in your workplace, your street, in your family? What genuine needs do they have? Who is he calling you to love? We've looked this week at the heart of reaching out. Next week, through 5 simple steps, we'll talk more practically about how outreach can move from an interruption to an intentional lifestyle. Begin to put together a list of people who God has placed in your life. Ask him, who does he want you to intentionally bless?